And welcome to the One Bad Day Songwriting Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the ins and outs of songwriting and a lot of other stuff that goes with that, I hope. So this is the first episode. I'm trying this out. And I have a lot of things to say. But first of all, let me introduce myself. I'm an Icelandic singer-songwriter. My name is Eyvindur, which is a bit tricky, so if that's a bit too hard, you can call me Avi. You know, I forgive you, Icelandic is pretty tricky. There are more people in the world who speak Klingon than Icelandic, so you are forgiven if you have trouble with my name. I've been a singer-songwriter for most of my adult life. I've been a professional songwriter for many years. I write a lot of music for theater, and I've taken some of those productions around the world and performed plays with my music, where I performed the music in several countries, and I've won awards and all kinds of cool things. So, songwriting is my biggest passion in life, and this podcast is just a way to share some of the stuff that I've learned throughout the years, and, it's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain, and hopefully it's informative and useful for any songwriters out there, and interesting to anybody who's just interested in the process. So, that's me, pretty much. Now, these days, I just put out an album a few months ago, my first solo album. It's called A Bottle Full of Dreams. You can get a couple of songs from that for free if you go to onebadday.rocks. That's onebadday.rocks. And you get a couple of songs for free and sign up for my mailing list and get some news and stuff. I'm mainly playing live here in Iceland and working on my second album, which is a collection of theater songs. So hopefully I'll have that done and ready for publication ready to put it out in early 2019. Now, before I dive into the topic of the episode, which is six tips to get out of a songwriting rut, I just want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are inspiring to me these days. I think this is a nice way. I'm hoping to start every episode like this. I think it's very important for any creative person. You know, and I've done a lot of other creative things. I've published a novel. I've written radio plays. I've done TV and all kinds of things. And I think it's very important for any creative person to take in other stuff from culture. Books and movies and TV shows and all that stuff. And just be active, so to speak, when it comes to those things. Just drink all those things in, because they can be really inspiring. And a lot of the stuff that I've done creatively throughout the years has been very much inspired by other stuff. Now, that's not to say that I'm copying or taking anything directly from these things at all. That's not I mean, I'm a singer-songwriter with a very, with my own style and stuff. And I certainly take, I have my influences when it comes to music. But sometimes I'll be inspired to write some lyrics based on some TV show that I've seen or a book I've read or whatever. But that doesn't mean that I'm writing about that at all. It just, maybe somebody says something that sparks something different in my brain. A good example, I wrote a song where that was started by a line, and I'll probably discuss this song in a later episode, but I was watching TV or something, and somebody says, somebody in the show or whatever it was, that things aren't as bad as they seem. And I took that line and I turned it on its head and I said, well, everything is worse than it seems. And that was a line that sparked a song that's on my album. And, you know, and it's one of my favorite songs that I've ever written. So, you know, just little things like that can spark a lot of different things. So I think, you know, enjoying a lot of different things, you know, consuming a lot of different things is very important. So, yeah, so I had this idea to talk a little bit about sort of what I've been consuming before I dive into it. And lately I've been, first of all, I'm a huge Stephen King fan. I have read every Stephen King novel and a lot of his short stories as well, and all of his novellas, I believe, as well. And, you know, so I've gone through it. Last year I made I sort of said, all right, I'm going to finish every King novel that I haven't read yet. So I did that. And, but now I've been getting into his son's work, Joe Hill, and he's just fantastic. So I'm reading, I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and right now I'm listening to his novella collection, Strange Weather, and I'm about halfway through and it's absolutely amazing. And I'm almost through reading the Fireman, which I'm reading on paper, which is also by Joe Hill. So I'm reading two of his books at the same time right now. And yeah, it's awesome. I recommend these to anybody. I mean, you know, he's thoughtful, he's poignant, he's, you know, there's a lot of social commentary in his work, which I guess Stephen King does as well. But I think Joe Hill does a little bit more of that, probably. And so, yeah, can't recommend him enough. So check out Joe Hill. And, you know, and speaking of Stephen King, I've also been watching the, I was a little bit late to the party, but I've been watching the Mr. Mercedes TV series, which is, of course, based on the Stephen King book by the same name. And that's really, really cool. It's, you know, a different kind of cop show, I guess. So, yeah, those are sort of the biggest things that I've been consuming lately. And also I've been playing some video games, but I won't get into that right now. Anyway, you know, I recommend checking out Mr. Mercedes and Joe Hill. And if you're interested in checking out those books or that TV show, if I can find it, I will put links in the show description. You can find it at onebadday.is/episode1. And yeah, so there'll be links there, and I might get a little commission from that, which will help me to bring you more of these episodes. So if you do that, then you'll make me a very happy singer-songwriter. Okay, so let's dive into the meat of the matter here. I have these 6 tips to get out of a songwriting rut. These are things that I have used myself. There are, of course, I'm sure, many other things that you can do, but this is just based on my experience. This is stuff that I use and has been very useful for me. So, first of all, what is a songwriting rut? What I mean by that is sometimes as a songwriter, you sort of start to feel like, you know, everything that you write sounds the same. I've had periods where, you know, I feel, oh man, you know, I start writing something and it's like, no, this sounds exactly like, you know, 3 other songs that I've written. You know, that's one thing. Or maybe you just, yeah, you just feel like you can't get anything started because you're, you just feel like you're repeating yourself or something like that. It's, you know, it's a confidence thing, I think, mainly. And that's actually a running theme probably here, is that, you know, a lot of the problems that I think most people tend to run into as songwriters boils down to confidence. But, you know, these are a little tricks that I've used to sort of make what I'm doing feel fresh, you know, because when you're a songwriter and you're doing it professionally, you can't just sit around and wait for inspiration to strike, right? You need to sit down and work. There's just, you know, I mean, again, I write music for theater, and sometimes, you know, I might have 2 days to come up with, you know, a song or maybe two or three songs. And, you know, and so I just have to sit down and do it. There's no waiting around. So some of these are very useful for that situation, or just when, you know, you feel like you need a little spark, you need a little kick in your songwriting butt. I'm going to go through these. These are six tips. They're all tricks that I've used at one point or another. And at the end, I'm going to play a song that, you know, that came about from using some of these tips. So, you know, it might drive something a little bit home a little bit more. And also, you know, you get a chance to hear one of my songs and get to know me a little better. So the first tip, and these are in no particular order, by the way, but my first tip is, when you're in a rut, try writing on a new instrument. Or when I say new instrument, I don't mean go out and buy a new instrument or pick up an instrument you've never played before, although you can do that. But what I mean is just, you know, if you normally write on a guitar, you know, try sitting down at a piano, or try writing on an ukulele or a banjo, or, you know, whatever. I've sat down and tried my hand at writing on an auto harp, you know, and so, yeah, so just it really is it really forces you to write differently, especially if it's an instrument that you don't that you're not very good at. You know, because, yeah, I mean, just comparing writing music on guitar to writing on a piano, you know, because I've done both. This was actually one of the tricks that I used when I, when I was writing music for my second theater play. You know, I had to write all these songs, and also I had to write some score and things, which I had never done. And so I decided, all right, so I'm going to write most of this on piano, which I did. And, you know, it really forced me to write very differently to what I was used to, because a piano, you know, obviously it works very differently from a guitar. And I didn't really know how to play the piano at that time. So I had to also, you know, pick up some things from that. So that's another, you know, added bonus if you use this tip, is that, you know, you kind of, you know, force yourself to learn a little bit, or, you know, figure out how to play another instrument, if it's an instrument that you don't know already. So that's, you know, this is probably my, you know, this is one of the best things that I, you know, I love to do this. Again, I normally write on guitar, but every now and then I'll pick up a different instrument and just see what happens, you know. So yeah, that's my number one tip, or my first tip rather. It's the, again, these are in no particular order. My second tip, and this requires a bit of an explanation, but my second tip is change up your order. What I mean by that is the order of your process. So you, as songwriters, most of us, I think, have a certain process. So some people start with the music, some people start with the lyrics, some people do both at the same time. I tend to do that. You know, at least for the most part. So what I do is I sit around and I play whatever instrument I'm using, and I'll start humming something, and usually I'll have some idea of a lyric, or probably just a line. That's how normally my songs will be sparked, by a single line of lyric, and then I'll sort of work around that. And I'll sort of work out the lyrics to the first verse or the first chorus at the same time. But, you know, but some people start with the lyrics, some people start with the music, some do both at the same time. So one way to spark something different, to change, I mean, again, these tips are almost, these are all about just changing up, you know, getting out of your comfort zone, really. And so this, you know, if you start with the lyrics normally, then try starting with the music, and vice versa. And if you do both at the same time, like I do, then, you know, maybe force yourself to only write music. Just write a melody with no words attached, and then come up with the words. So one, you know, additional way to do this is to, you know, if it's uncomfortable, because for me, I find it a little bit awkward to write lyrics to pre-existing music. I don't know why. It's just not my strong suit. For some reason, even though, you know, it's fine when once I've written the first verse, I write them together, the music and the lyrics, and then I get to the second verse, and it's no problem to write to the same melody. But for some reason, if the melody is already there, I find it a little bit awkward to do the other way around. But one thing that I have, that you can experiment with, is to find a poem and write music to that. You know, so that's an easy way. You just take the words and write to that, and then, you know, you could then change the words later. So you could use a poem as a starting point, as a jumping off point. You know, you could pick something. I don't know. You could find a classic poem that's public domain. I guess Edgar Allan Poe would work, something like that. That could be cool. So just, you know, or you can, you know, if you find a poem somewhere, you can contact the poet and ask for permission. Just, you know, make sure you're not doing anything illegal. Don't infringe on anybody's copyright or anything like that. But, you know, you can try that, just writing to, you could take something that would be copyright infringement, write music to that, and then just write new lyrics. I think that would be a pretty good experiment. And again, I've done this a lot because I've written, again, so much for theater. And when I do that, they give me lyrics to write to. Most of the time, that's how it's been done. So, you know, I just get basically a poem, and then I have to write a song to it. Which, again, I never used to do, and it has changed my process a lot, and it has, the stuff that I've written for theater, a lot of that has been very, very different to the stuff that I would normally write when I have, when I'm writing, you know, the music and lyrics myself. So it really does spark new things and keep it fresh. So that's my second tip. Change up your order. And, you know, again, step out of your comfort zone. So, tip number three. This is a kind of a similar thing in that it's changing up the order. But this is, you know, start with what you normally don't start with. Now, of course, maybe you do this already, but, you know, some people start with the chorus and some people start with the verse. Some people do it interchangeably. I almost always start with the first verse. And there's a conventional wisdom in songwriting circles. You know, a lot of the times when I see people give out songwriting tips or try to teach songwriting, I see people, you say, you know, you start with the chorus because that's where the hook is. You start with that and then the verse, you know, you sort of base it off of that. I almost never do that. You know, I just start with the verse. Sometimes I've even started with the introduction, like the chorus and the introduction. Literally, I've done that. So, you know, it's for me, I don't know, it's a very sort of linear process. I write it from start to finish almost always. However, again, this is one of the things that I do when I want to change things up. Then I'll start with the chorus, you know, which is unusual for me. So if you're, I think the other way around is probably more common for songwriters. They start with the chorus, and it is sound advice. Don't get me wrong. It's just not something that I normally do. I find that I am better at coming up with a verse and then building the chorus on top of that. And that doesn't mean that my songs don't have catchy choruses. Not at all. I mean, people tell me all the time that, you know, they listen to some of my songs and they can't get them out of their heads. So I don't think it means that you can't write catchy. But, you know, again, your mileage may vary. And for a lot of people, it's very awkward to start with a verse. But for that very reason, if you are used to starting with the chorus and you find yourself stuck in a little bit of a rut, then try starting with the verse and building the chorus on top of that. You know, I think for me, what tends to happen when I do that, which is not a bad thing, but I find that if I start with a chorus, I find it more difficult to make the verse very different from the chorus. So for those songs that I've written starting with the chorus, the verse tends to be very, you know, I tend to use the same chord progression for both the verse and the chorus, which, you know, a lot of songs do that, and a lot of my, you know, some of my songs do it, and that's, you know, it's great. So again, it makes it very different, because otherwise, mostly, you know, there will be a different build up, and the chorus will be a lot different, very different from the verse, and, you know, it'll be more traditional, I guess, in that sense. So, you know, again, my songs are very different based on where I start, whether I start with the chorus or with the verse. So that's one thing that is, in my opinion, a very good way to change it, change things up, and get out of a rut if you find yourself in one. Or, you know, maybe you're not, you know, again, you might not find yourself in a rut. You might just want to write something that's different from what you normally write. You might not experience that as a rut, but anyway. Okay, so tip number four, and this is one that has that I love to do, and this is just try out some new and weird chords that you've never used before. So I have, you know, and you can get these are available online as well. I have a book of chords. You know, it's a big book. It's one, not one of those small little leaflets. This is like a comprehensive book of guitar chords, and it has every different variation that you can think of all different chords and all different keys. And so sometimes when I just can't come up with an idea, or I'm stuck in a rut, and again, this has been very useful when I'm, you know, writing under pressure, which, again, as a professional songwriter, you tend to do that. You know, you need to come up with something. So I'll go and I'll just go in there and I'll select just a random chord, and I'll play it, and maybe that doesn't spark anything, so I'll find another one until, you know, I find a chord that sounds interesting, it sounds different, a chord I've never used. And, you know, I just start strumming it or picking it or whatever, and linking it with other chords. Again, I always just go for one chord that I don't know and then link it with chords that I'm actually familiar with. Because I think, you know, if you try to select like four weird and funky chords, that's just going to turn into something I don't even know, man. This is going to be strange. You know, and this again is because, you know, well, first of all, you may know billions of chords. You know, for me, I'm not an instrumentalist. Let's just put it that way. You know, I'm an okay guitar player. I'm certainly not, you know, I don't have a lot of education, and the stuff that I know, I play pretty well, but there's a lot of stuff that I don't know. So for me to go through all of these, you know, hundreds of chords, you know, I know like six of them. And so to go through it and try to, you know, and it's very easy for you. You know, if you have a lot of music education and everything, this might not be as useful for you, but, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a chord that you don't know. Maybe it's just a chord that you've never used in a song and that you don't normally play. You know, that's the same thing. Just find a chord that's in some way unfamiliar to you, and play around with it. Link it to other chords. Again, I find it best that the rest of the chords is something that I'm actually familiar with. And, you know, that really, really helps me a lot. You know, and it tends to spark a lot of things. And a similar thing is, this is like a bonus, this is like 4B, is to just, if you're not a musician that writes sort of riff-heavy music, then coming up with different riffs based on these chords is also a very useful thing. You know, again, I'm a sort of a folk rock musician, and I mostly play acoustic guitar, so I don't play a lot of riffs. So every now and then I'll find a chord and I'll write a riff around it and, you know, start playing around with that, which is, you know, that does spark very different things from when the way I normally just sit down and start strumming some chords and humming a melody, you know, starting with an unusual chord or a riff, really, you know, that sparks very different things for me. And of course, again, vice versa, if that's what you normally do, then start with something simpler, something more basic. Again, these are all the same thing, really. All of these tips are just at least most of them, are sort of, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone and doing something that you don't normally do. You know, that's really the number one, like the best tip, is just don't do the thing that you normally do. You know, that's obviously how to get out of a rut in anything. Just do something different. So that's it. Try out new and weird chords or riffs, and see what happens. And again, you know, if it's a riff thing, then, you know, start with a scale that you don't normally use, or play around a chord if you're not a big scale person, which is, for me, I only know like 4 scales or something. So to me, you know, so I normally base my riffs around a chord rather than a scale. But, you know, again, many of you are probably way better musicians better in technique and theory than I am. So, you know, use whatever works. But, you know, again, change it up. Use different chords, different scales, different riffs and all that. And see what happens. You know, and the best part is, you know, about this thing that we do as songwriters is it's all playing. We're playing around. It's so much fun. So just have fun with it and don't stress out. All right. So tip number 5. And this has been very useful for me. And it might be for you. It might not. It sort of depends on where you're at in your career, in your education, all of that. But this has been very useful for me, especially when I was starting out. I don't do this as much anymore, but when I was first learning the ropes of songwriting, this was probably what was most helpful to me, because at that time, you know, I knew the very basic chords, and you know, I had written probably a few songs, but they were all very similar. So how I got out of that rut was using this, and this tip is learn new songs. You know, I can't tell you, and also you know, and not just learn new songs, but learn songs that are not like the music that you normally play. Both really, but you know, learning and again, before before anybody freaks out, I don't mean you know, learn songs and copy them. I just mean, you know, learn new songs because it tells you so much about what works. First of all, as a, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a beginner at songwriting, it's probably, you know, it was what helped me sort of understand how songwriting works, right? How songs work. So learning new songs is very good for that. But also, if you are more experienced, it gives you different ideas. Because a lot of the time, you'll you listen to a song and it sounds, oh, you know, there's something very catchy and very interesting about it, and it might be completely different from what you write. But then, you know, you check out how to play it, and you know, nowadays, of course, it's very easy. Even if you're not good at picking songs up by ear, you can go online, and there are, of course, you know, hundreds of websites probably where you can find chords to almost any song. And sometimes, you know, it's done right and sometimes it's not, but that doesn't really matter for these purposes. But a lot of the times, you know, you'll hear a song, you say, oh, that's interesting, and you want to learn how to play it, and you figure it out, and it turns out that it's breaking the rules, right? You know, you may have learned the rules, you may know how scales work, how keys work, how chords work within those keys and within those scales, and but it'll, you know, it'll be there'll be something, they're breaking the rule in that song, you know. So this great song that sounds amazing, they're breaking the rules, but they're doing it right. And again, an example that I use, which is the song that I mentioned before, which is called Lock This Door, and then I'm gonna let you hear that at the end of the show, is that one, you know, one of the things that I used for that was I had listened to a song, well, I just learned how to play a song, rather, where the chord progression was a little bit weird, because there was a chord in there that didn't belong in the key of the song. Or rather, yes, it went to an E major where it should have gone to an E minor. And so I just took that one chord and I put it into my chord progression as well. You know, and it has a really interesting sound, you know, where you get this major as opposed to a minor. And so, you know, that was, you know, it really made the song sound pretty unique. It didn't make it sound like the song that I had learned, you know. It just made it, it gave it an interesting sound. And I had never, it had never occurred to me to use that, to use a major in where it should be a minor. But, you know, I did it, and it really gave the song a little spark. And again, it's one of my favorite songs that I've ever written. So learning new songs, I can't overstate that. It's a very useful thing, especially if you're, you know, not even if you're a beginner, but just maybe if you don't, you know, if you don't play a lot of covers. You know, nowadays, you know, I've spent some time playing in, I have spent a lot of time playing covers in pubs. Because, you know, if you're a musician, that in many cases, that's where you make money, as opposed to with your own music. So, you know, for years and years, I used to do that a lot. And sometimes I still do, where you have to play a lot of covers. So I've learned hundreds, if not thousands, of songs to play in those scenarios, and also other songs that I just like to play for myself. So, you know, at this point, I don't really do this as much, you know, learning other songs, but it is a great way to just get new ideas, to see different things being done. And again, you know, it all depends on where you are in your musical journey. But, you know, it's one thing that you can try if you feel like you're in a bit of a rut, or if you just want to spark something new. All right, so that was tip number 5, learn new songs. And now it's time for my final tip, number 6. This is tip number 6. And it is, this is a little bit different, but don't knock it till you tried it. So this tip is, try a random chord progression generator. So there are these tools available online for free where you can have some machine put together a random chord progression for you. And this is, you know, it's this is, it can spark, you know, different things. Again, it's all about stepping outside of your comfort zone and coming up with things that you wouldn't normally come up with. So, you know, you can you go there and you can, it'll put together some chord progression and you can try playing it. And these websites usually even play them for you, so you can just hear how they sound without that. And you know, some of them even have like a, you know, you can get a drum beat going, or you can set it if you want it, you know, what kind of mood you want, what scale, what key, everything. And it'll come up with something and you can try it out and see if it works. And you know, this is something that can, you know, spark a lot of things. You can just keep clicking the generate button. So the one that I found when I was researching, when I was looking for a random generator, because I haven't used one in years, but I found one that looks really good, and it's called Auto Chords. This is autochords.com. And that one looks really great. You know, it has all kinds of different settings, and it gives you, you know, a chord progression, and then it gives you variations of it. So you could use that to, you know, if you find something that sounds good, then you have different variations that you can put into the song as well. So you can make it a little bit more complex. So it looks really cool. So that's something, again, you know, if you're out of ideas for chord progressions, or you know, everything, you know, again, sometimes you start getting this feeling that, everything I write sounds the same. And I've certainly had that. And again, this all boils down to confidence. Sometimes you just, I'm sure every songwriter out there has been in that place where they feel, everything sounds so samey. It all sounds too much like me. You know what I mean? And so this is a very good way, I feel, to step out of that. To just go, all right, you know, let's just play a random chord progression, you know, and just force yourself to play it. And then, of course, you know, once you get started, you'll probably change one or two things. You know, I've used this, you know, there's a song that I, a very good song, I feel, that I wrote for one of the theater productions. Well, actually, I wrote this song years ago, and I was sort of happy with it, but I never sort of got around to using it. I think I've played it live two or three times, but apart from that, it's sort of sat on. I have dozens and dozens of songs that I haven't put out, that I've hardly played, so they're just sitting there. This was one of those songs. So I wrote it to a random chord progression that I got online, and I wrote this song, and it was okay, but I'd never used it. And then I repurposed it for one of the plays that I wrote for. So then, you know, I took it and I changed it around, where I hadn't changed it around very much for the first time. So, but this time I took it and I sort of changed it around a little bit, because now I was writing to pre-existing lyrics and everything, so I had to do that. So again, this is a great way to do that. Actually, there's one more thing that, this is a bonus tip here, that just occurred to me, that I realized that I have done this. So this is the big bonus tip. It's not a big tip, but this is one thing that I actually have done, is to, and again, this will not work for every songwriter, but it did work for me, because again, I write sort of folk rock, Americana type stuff. And so once I felt like I needed something to change things up, and you know, come up with something a little bit different from what I usually do, so what I did was I started a drum machine going. And this, again, was a free drum machine that I found online. And, you know, you can get drum machine apps and all kinds of things like that. And, of course, you know, if you have a recording software, many of them have built-in drum machine plugins. I use Reason, personally, myself, these days. So there are obviously a lot of different drum machines and loop machines and stuff built into that. But you know, you can get this stuff on the App Store for iOS or the Google Play, or you know, there are all kinds of places to get it for free. And if you're a Mac user, you have GarageBand and everything. So, but just get a drum machine going, just a beat, and write to that. So I did this once, and I wrote a song to a drum machine beat, which was, of course, very different to me. For me, it's very different for me in my process, because normally, you know, I write this, you know, acoustic stuff. But in this case, you know, that's not what I did. So that was very useful, and might be useful for you as well. You know, but again, if you are, you know, if you're somebody who writes that kind of music, if you write, you know, hip hop or R&B or something that is very beat oriented, then probably that's not going to have the same effect. But in that case, maybe do it the other way around. Write on an acoustic guitar or something. You know, again, the take home here, I think, for anybody is it's all about stepping out of your comfort zone. So I hope some of that stuff is useful. And as I've been saying, I want to sort of bring this home by playing the song that I've referenced a couple of times here. And I'm just going to put in the recording from my album, because that sounds a lot better than just me on the acoustic guitar. This is how I think I'll end all the shows, with a song. Now, hopefully in the future, I'll have guests on and things to discuss different aspects of songwriting. But this time, it's just me. And, you know, in the future, I might just sit down with an acoustic guitar in some cases, or I'll put in proper recordings. But this is a song, it's the opening song from my album. It's called Lock This Door. And so I'll finish the song out with that. You know, if you like it, then you can check out some a couple of more songs from the album at onebadday.rocks. And I really hope that you enjoyed this. I'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on the show page if you go to onebadday.is/episode1. I'd love to hear from you. There will be links to the books that I mentioned at the start of the show as well, and the TV series if I can find it. And you know, if you buy those things through the links there, that gives me a little bit of a commission, which, you know, which will help me bring you more of these shows. And by all means, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. This should be up everywhere, hopefully. And yeah, so by all means, keep listening. I'm going to keep doing this. Stay in touch, and here's the song, Falcon.
I've been sitting here for such a long time. Been down so long, bottom looks like up. I've been waiting for the longest time for you to come home. Drinking stale coffee from a broken cup. And I can't stop thinking. No, I can't guess I'll have to face it on my own. I cried myself to sleep at night, wondering if you wasted years. I got a suitcase full of sorrows and a bottle full of dreams, a deck of cards and a shot glass full of tears. And I can't face life without you, but I'm terrified of death, and everything gets worse with